Welcome to Housewarming, your inside look at real Irish homes transforming for a greener energy future. I'm Kim Buckley, and in this, the first episode of our brand new series, I'm chatting with James Kavanagh, social media personality, entrepreneur, TV presenter, podcaster, and most importantly, owner of a beautiful house in Kilkenny, which he is in the middle of renovating. Alongside James, we'll also be hearing from Ellie Hagnow, owner of a stunning cottage in Cork. Both Ellie and James fell in love with their properties, but in moving out of the city and to the countryside, they both faced big renovation projects and a change to their lifestyles. We'll go over to James first, and I was very excited to catch up with him and hear about his house because we've all been seeing it on Instagram. James Kavanagh, welcome to Housewarming. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm very excited to hear all about your stunning country pile.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So you're very synonymous with Dublin. I mean, no one, I'd say, ever thought you were going to leave. And you were living here with William for 11 years. Why did you move?
Yeah, and like, even like, not even Dublin, but I was obsessed with like city living. Like when I was growing up, I was like, obsessed with Sex and the City. And I was like, Manhattan is going to where, you know, that's where I'm going to end up. Or London was always on the cards. And then I guess I met William, who's from Cork, a beautiful little place called Currabinny in Cork Harbour. And I just kind of experiences like spending a lot of time down there during COVID. I also went to a boarding school in the middle of nowhere in Westmeath, Wilson's Hospital School. And that was just surrounded by fields. So I had little moments throughout my life like those that kind of planted a seed, excuse pun, of like country living and like maybe not living in a city space. And I just found myself happier when I was countryside, and just maybe everything was a bit quieter and there was a lot more green and things like that. So we just warmed up to the idea over the past 5 years of maybe not living in the city anymore, and just started putting an eye out there for houses all over as well. We weren't looking in one particular place. We were kind of focused on Cork mainly because that's where William's from. That's kind of where we knew most. But then we found this gorgeous house in just outside Greig na Mana, which is this beautiful part just outside Kilkenny on the border with Carlow. So we're near Burris. We're near Inistig, which is where Circle of Friends was filmed. Like, so picturesque. And
you're even pronouncing it like a local, Burris, where all the rest
did
of
you
us
like
say
that?
Burris. I definitely picked up on that, James.
That's for the locals. I actually got given out to, I was like, Burris. And they're like, it's Burris.
It's like the Ranala argument.
Yeah, I'd say the true, is it Ranala? Like the true
Don't
people?
Don't ask me, I'm in Northside.
My dad says Ranala.
Okay.
And he's from Charlemount, which is beside Ranala. So I think that's probably correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Ranala. And what was the house hunt like, and what was on your list?
So the list was like this long, right? Mm-hmm. Really, really long. A sea view. 10 acres. I actually wanted 5 acres. I didn't even know what an acre was.
Okay.
It sounded nice.
It sounded big.
You know, but the more acres, the more managing.
Yes.
So now we have just under 1 acre and it's still pretty big. So I'm glad we didn't maybe go for the 5 acres, unless we were rewilding or something. Like, you still have to, you know, that's a lot of robot lawnmowers, like, you know.
Yeah.
So that was on the list. An old house with character was like probably really high on the list. We weren't really into a new build kind of situation. Definitely wanted to just move in somewhere with a mature garden. You know, the views were important, being off a main road as well. So we kind of had all these things. Cork as well was kind of high on the list. But then, you know, we were realistic with our budget. We didn't have a huge budget. So the list kind of got smaller and we kind of got a bit more realistic about what we could have. And also kind of what we really needed, you know. So we wanted to be able to grow our own stuff, potential for maybe a chicken coop, potential for a polytunnel, all this sort of stuff. And then we just found this. We filmed a TV show about kind of house hunting, which was amazing, because from kind of going all over the country with that TV show, our mind was like opened up into like, hang on, there's places all over Ireland that are stunning and fit the bill of what we wanted. People should take off their blinkers who want to move down the country. I keep getting given out of saying down the country, because you could be up the country.
Yes.
So I say, if you want to move countryside, travel a bit all over, because we're so lucky in Ireland. You can be in the middle of nowhere in an hour and a half outside Dublin. Mm-hmm. Do you know that way? Yeah. You don't, you know, if you, you think of people in America or London, people travel like an hour to work every day, or, you know, we're not used to long commutes. So we think, oh God, an hour and a half outside Dublin, that's like miles away. But it's actually not in practice. And like, sometimes I come up to Dublin for work, maybe once a week or once every 2 weeks. And it's very manageable to be countryside based and still nip in and out of Dublin. Do you know that way?
Okay. So why this house?
We knew nothing about the area, like total gamble, but fell in love with the house. It's on its own plot. It's like surrounded by kind of breathtaking views of Mount Leinster, the Black Stairs. We straddle Carlow. We were, you know, in Kilkenny. My neighbour was like, you're in the middle of nowhere, but in the middle of everything. And you kind of are. We're kind of near Cork as well, near Dublin. So great for me and William. But we just fell in love with the house itself. And it was owned by an artist and a poet. So when we went to see the house, like, it was full of these gorgeous little knickknacks, and they had the place done up really nice, and just when you walk in, we felt a bit of magic. And I think that's kind of, you need that when you're house hunting. You kind of need that, oh, this could be my home feeling.
Well,
when you
and William
in.
Are so creative, and I suppose moving into a creative space like that where the homeowners were creative, I mean, that energy is going to pass on, and you're hoping it's going to stick around.
Yeah, 100%.
Did those creative, fabulous vibes stick around, or when you arrived, was it a totally different story?
Yeah, well, the garden was what we fell in love with most.
Okay.
They had 35 years put into that garden, and there's like five apple trees, there's a pear tree, there's loads of fruit bushes. And for people who want to grow their own food and stuff, like, to have something like that established already, that's kind of like money can't buy stuff, you know, because sometimes you move into a garden and that's an afterthought in a lot of people's minds. But that was their, all of their love and energy was put into the garden. So it's a real little magical kind of garden, you know, and that's just the garden. And then the house itself was beautiful and beautifully decorated and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, but we had this thing called buyer's regret, which we kind of found out about afterwards, that that's a thing. And we,
after making the biggest purchase of your life.
I know, yeah. And we went down, William was like violently hungover, I was with the cat, and you know when your partner's really hungover and you have the cat or your baby or whatever, like, you're the one who's like steering the ship, and
yes,
William's kind of dragging himself along. And then all the movers went, and you know the drama and circus of moving house, like when all that kind of dies down, and then you're like, oh, this is our, you know, new house. And then I looked to my left and there was sheep in that field and cows in the next. And I was used to like the drama of Phibsborough and that kind of buzz living. And then all of a sudden it was very quiet. Mm-hmm. And all of the stuff, I guess, like the decor and the beautiful vibes that we fell in love with, all, was kind of all gone, because that was all their furniture,
yeah,
their art on the walls. It was kind of like a total blank canvas. So we were a bit spooked for the first like 2 weeks, and we didn't acknowledge it with each other. We only kind of acknowledged it, like, you know, a couple
in
of months later. I was like, did you really regret that for those couple of weeks? And William was like, oh my God, yeah, but we didn't want to speak it into reality.
Absolutely.
Do you know?
And so you'd buyer's remorse, but there was a moment where you and William realized that you were in the right place. Tell me about that.
Yeah, we wouldn't be very like woo-woo vibes, but like this was kind of like, oh God, got chills about it. We had no connection to the owners. I can say their names because we've said them before and they're kind of public figure-y type people. Kerry and Sean, poet and a guy who used to actually work for the BBC, and he wrote like Spitting Image and worked with Rowan Atkinson, and there was actually a BAFTA on the shelves
no
when
way.
We went to view the house. So yeah, we were kind of fascinated
oh
by the
God.
Owners. Yeah. But we didn't know them at all or whatever. And we were going around the house when we first moved in on the first day, and I heard kind of William like crying in the other room, and he found an envelope that had basically a collaborator of his mother, and William's mum passed away 5 years ago, and he was so close to her, and she was an artist and William's an artist, and they just had this like gorgeous bond. Like anytime I'd witness them together at home, they were just so like spoke kind of in this really lovely way to each other, and just were total perfect mother and son kind of vibes. So when she died, obviously it was really hard for William and that kind of thing. And then fast forward, we're in this new house, and Anna O'Regan was on the envelope, which is a longtime collaborator and best friend of William's mum, Breda Lynch. Now, William's William Murray, Breda Lynch. So, you know, there was no even connection for the owners of the house to have left that out for William or anything like that. So we opened it up and it was a poem that Kerry had written about William's mum's art, which was just insane to see. And we opened up further and it was basically a kind of leaflet you'd get when you went to an exhibition. Mm-hmm. And there was photos of William's mum's work, a poem about William's mum's work. And we were just like in all the houses in all of Ireland to find that. And we got in touch with Kerry, the owner, being like, did you leave this for us? And she had no idea she even kept it. So that was like, okay, I think we're in the right place.
Oh my God, I've got goosebumps. That is incredible.
Yeah, so we framed it and it's now hanging in the house. But like, for two people that were like, oh, have we done the right thing? And then to find that, kind of a little nod from William's mum, you know, it was just like really gorgeous.
And do you think that that's a sign that this is your forever home?
Oh yeah, totally. And like, even like, you know, as the weeks went by, we started to fall back in love with the house and we kind of realized, no, this is the one for us. And we're kind of putting our own little stamp on it now. We're on the cusp of like doing it up and mm-hmm. all that sort of stuff. But like, we're a year on now and I couldn't imagine living anywhere else. Like, it's really, I kind of like, not to be cringe, but like pinch myself moments sometimes when I look out at the view of Mount Leinster and I'm just like on my hammock under the apple trees, and it's just like, it's really heaven. Like, it's such a little slice of heaven down there.
I've seen the hammock. I'm incredibly jealous of the hammock.
Yeah, and it's under the apple trees.
Stop. But you are in the middle of nowhere, James, and you can't get a pizza takeaway, you can't get your coffee.
I miss delivery on demand.
Yeah, I was just about to ask, what are you missing? I know you're so happy and you're pinching yourself.
Yeah,
but what do you miss about Dublin?
I miss Deliveroo. I miss, you know, the fact you can walk across the road, grab a coffee. I don't see, I'm 36 now. When I was going down there, I was like, will I miss these like last minute nights out, you know, la, la, la. But everything in my calendar now, everything in my life is kind of in my Google calendar now. And it's the same for my friends as well. So even my friends that are back in Dublin, they're not really doing those random nights out. Lots of them have kids now. Like, you kind of do book birthdays in advance. And mm-hmm. so while you can kind of be a bit like, when you're just, it's just you alone and the cows in the next field, you're like, oh, am I missing out on something back? But like, everything is planned now anyway. So, but I do, I guess, miss the kind, I miss a little bit of the hustle and bustle and the delivery. That's the main thing. But when you weigh it up at what I've gained, mm-hmm. it far outweighs what I've lost. Do you know that way?
Oh, 100%. How are you living differently now? I know you can't go out and get a takeaway coffee. So, you know, things are slower, I presume, you know, in terms of like making your own food, and you can't get a pizza if you're, you know, hungover or starving. So you need to like pre-plan. How do you live differently in the house now with William?
Well, we found these amazing super value pizzas and they're as good as some takeaway pizzas. So yeah. I always have a few pizzas in the oven for the hangover days.
Yeah.
But generally, like, I kind of, you know, like Belle in Beauty and the Beast when she's whizzing around the village and going to the boulangerie and going to the butcher.
Bonjour,
and
bonjour, bonjour, bonjour.
Yeah. So like, there's a market on Fridays in Burris that's a little bit like that village vibe in Beauty and the Beast.
There goes the baker.
There goes the baker with his tray like always. Yes. I need 6 eggs. That's too expensive. Well, in this economy, it is. I get
there
her
must
now.
Be more than this provincial life.
Yeah, so I'm totally living my Belle fantasy at the moment. But we have found that community vibe that I was kind of craving down there. And like, everyone kind of knows each other, and we get our vegetables off this guy, Peter Lee, who grows them just down the road. We go to the local butcher for a bit. We buy our honey from this beekeeper that lives beside us. So we've gained so much of that gorgeousness that I've always been kind of craving. And the other thing about Ireland, it's so small. You can nip up and be here when you need to be. Mm-hmm. And I come up once a week, once every 2 weeks, and I go out for dinners. And also, it's kind of made me feel excited about Dublin again, because I'm like a tourist.
Okay, yeah.
And like, I come up with a purpose.
And you're like, oh, that's new, that's new. I haven't seen that.
Yeah, and I'll go to the gallery and I'll go to the restaurant and I'll go to the cafe. So I make most of my time when I come up, like, count.
Yeah.
You know that way?
Absolutely. And you're such foodies, you and William, anyway. I know you were in Ballymaloe, and William is a trained chef, and you're making really gorgeous elaborate dinners out of super fresh local food. Is that a dream of yours? And tell me about your garden. Are you hoping to not even have to go out to those markets?
Yeah, I mean, we have a polytunnel at the moment and we've grown loads of tomatoes this year, like big kind of heritage, kind of those mad looking tomatoes. Yeah. And like we're having tomato sandwiches lately. There's nothing like them.
Bit of salt.
Big, thick slices, salt, pepper, olive oil in between like two fluffy white pieces. But like, there's nothing like your own homegrown tomatoes. Like, they're unbelievable, next level taste. So like, that's so exciting. We're growing courgettes, we're growing our own, all our own herbs. Got really lucky with like loads of different like salad leaves. It's just so exciting to go down with a little basket and get your little produce or whatever. So that is exciting. And it's kind of, we make content as well and recipes and stuff like that. So to be able to like nip into your own polytunnel to do that, and the content just looks so much nicer as well. So yeah, that's been a really fun part. And loads of learnings as well. Like, you wouldn't realize the amount of room you need for courgettes. Like, so much room. And we have kind of three aisles in our polytunnel. One is just dedicated to the courgettes, one is the tomatoes. So we're learning loads as we go. But yeah, it's a really fun process.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Moving from outside the house back into the house. And we're getting straight into the technical now, because this is, you know, we want to talk about your sustainable energy and the energy efficiency of your home.
Yes.
It's not very energy efficient at the moment. No. Tell me what the BER is.
So I screenshot it before I came. It's D2,
okay,
which is not quite good, I think. It's perfection in the summer. Myself and William we describe ourselves as like, we like our bedroom to feel like a morgue at night, like quite cold.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, we have this fan at the end of our bed. It's this shark blade fan, it's called, and it aims air up at us. So in the winter, it's great because the house is freezing. So that's perfect for going to sleep. But it's not great for like during the evening and coming home after like work or whatever. The house is like, you can see your breath in the hallway.
Oh,
and
right.
We have oil and one or two of the radiators doesn't really work. It's really rickety and it needs to be patched up in many areas. So I'm very excited to do up the house for the aesthetic reasons, but also for better insulation and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, it's grand in the summer when you have all the doors open and the windows open and it's really nice and easy breezy, but I'm kind of dreading the winter now. We're hoping to start the work soon, but it could be next spring, I'm not sure, so we might have to brave another winter.
But it's great that you've lived in the house, so you'll feel the before and after. You'll really appreciate it when it's nice and warm and cozy.
Yeah.
So you are planning on doing a renovation. What is the plan, and are you extending or re-knocking walls? And obviously you're going to make it energy efficient. Tell me everything.
A big thing that I heard from friends who've done up houses, their first time buyers and did up the houses, some of them did it up remotely. So one of my friends, they bought a really, like, it was like a time capsule from the 60s, like kind of cool, but like needed to be done up massively. They did it all up without living in the space. And people were like to me, try and live in the space for as long as possible, because your mind will change, even in terms of where you want to put the light switches.
Oh, 100%.
Do you know? Yeah. And like when I first viewed our house, I was like, I want to knock that wall. Mm-hmm. I want to put a window there. I want whatever there. Da, da, da. And my mind has actually changed a load of times since the first time, do you know? So
yeah.
I'm really glad we've spent time in the house and also decided what's really necessary and what's, you know, just an aesthetic thing or something that could wait for, you know, a couple of years down the line. So we kind of have it really watertight what we actually want now. We're basically like keeping the skeleton of the house. Like, there's nothing really moving in terms of internal walls or stuff like that. We're going to extend the kitchen slightly and have the dining room and kitchen a bit more flowy, because that's the way we like to entertain and serve food and stuff. So that's kind of, but we're keeping the TV room, for example, as a little cozy spot, because I think that's kind of nice to have. You know, there's a lot of like open plan vibes in design at the moment, but I actually kind of like higgledy-piggledy spots around the house that are kind of like their own spaces. So we're keeping things like that, but we're doing a wrap around the house situation with the insulation. We were thinking about going inside. You have to kind of choose, but we're kind of going outside because you can kind of lose space if you do it inside.
Yeah.
So we're doing the wraparound thing. We're putting a skylight here and there. But we love the shape of it. It's in the shape of an old lodge house. So we love the shape. It's just really aesthetic stuff. And I hate the showers at the moment. The showers, I mean one shower. But it's really piddly. It's an electric shower. I really want a pump. Dying for a pump. Okay. Yeah. Just to feel that pressure. Yeah. I love a shower that like it feels like it's taking the skin off
it's
you.
It's an assault.
An assault. Yes. Yeah, I want to be assaulted by the shower.
Okay.
So there's things like that that I'm so excited for.
And you have solar panels already.
Yeah.
And you got an SEAI grant for that.
Yes.
So tell me how they're working out.
They're so we got the solar and I actually got the tiles on our roof done, spray sandblasted and then repainted black because they were very patchy and white. And I'm really glad I'd done that because the solar panels blend in beautifully into the kind of freshly painted tiles. So you don't even notice them. I actually love the look of solar panels on a roof. I think it's kind of gorgeous looking. But I love watching it on a really sunny day, especially because on the app, you can kind of see it all like filter into each other. Our bills are like a good 100 euro or whatever has been taken off the bills per month, which is great, obviously. But it's great as well because I have an electric car. So like it can, you know, take a lot out of the solar.
And charge your car for free overnight.
Pretty much.
For all your trips to Dublin.
For all the trips to Dublin, yeah.
You're driving for free.
I'm driving for free. And where I live, we've had a few power cuts. Especially in storms. So now we have a plug in the hall that like will kick in because we got the battery as well.
Yes.
So that'll kick in if we ever, and that's a problem for a lot of rural houses. If you're in the middle of nowhere, you can suffer those. So solar panels are useful in many ways. We can plug straight in if there's a storm or whatever. So yeah.
Are you addicted to that app to see how much electricity you're making? Go on.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just on the app the whole time. And even on the dull days, like you're getting that solar in and I'm like just worshipping the app. Because I'm nerdy in that sense. I love seeing it all come in and seeing what we're using. So yeah, it's really fun. I can't wait to just generally start on the renovation and see what kind of grants we can avail of.
There's a lot out there. Yeah, well, there is. You could get individual grants, which could be you've already got your solar grant. You know, you can do it piecemeal and bit by bit and get those grants back. Or you could do, which sounds like it's more up your street, is a one-stop shop, which is where the one-stop shop provider comes in, does an energy assessment, tells you what you need.
Yeah,
and
that sounds
you'll,
like
you know,
me.
Because you do need new windows and doors and they're included in the one-stop shop. So that's a really good option for you.
Yeah. Also a water one. We have a well and I think it needs to be maybe done up and there's some sort of water well upgrade grant you can get to, which is deadly.
Absolutely. Yeah. Fantastic. So you're definitely in a great position. And also this is a really, really expensive time for you and William, but there are new low interest green loans that you can avail of if you are doing these energy upgrades.
Deadly.
So it means that you'll be able to apply for one of these loans knowing that you can, you know, avail of all these grants. So there are amazing options for people like you and William out there. So you work for yourself, James,
and
so does William now. And you've got a gorgeous, can we call it a kitchen garden? It basically is.
Yeah.
And you have re-established your amazing food truck, Kurabini, which is named after where William is from.
Yeah.
How is that going? And is that the plan to stick with that and travel around the local areas selling your gorgeous food?
Yeah. So we have the Kurabini Caravan and we're based in Shankill Castle, which is just in Paulstown in Kilkenny at the moment. And it's in this beautiful little courtyard. Like it's the little green caravan. And just looks so chocolate box and it looks like a little postcard in there. And we're doing kind of local, we're using local cheeses. Peter Lee is our local veg guy. So William's been doing these stunning BLTs with like big chunky heirloom tomatoes and like homemade mayonnaises and William's unbelievable at food. But the plan is to open a shop in Kilkenny City and have like a homewares kind of deli situation. So I'm mad about homewares. So I'd love a Kurabini home and I'm mad for a tablecloth and linens and different bits and bobs around the house. That's kind of where I've I guess, fallen in love with when it comes to like the renovation and home and stuff is the finishings and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I'd love a sort of homeware shop and William to do a kind of food offering in Kilkenny, bricks and mortar shop. And then maybe we'd have the caravan like dotted somewhere else in Kilkenny. But we're kind of aiming now for a bricks and mortar shop in Kilkenny.
I can see it. I can feel it.
Yeah. Candles, textiles, yes. Gorgeous bits and bobs. Oh. Yeah.
James, that sounds fabulous.
Will you shop in my shop?
100%.
Yeah.
Is there going to be pottery?
Definitely pottery. I love a cup.
A butter
dish. I love
a
mug. A butter dish. Yeah. And there's what we found as well, like Kilkenny itself is just awash with like amazing craftspeople, like basket weavers, pottery people, stained glass artists. So like I found loads of people I want to stock in my shop that like, you know, it's been just thrilling to like discover these people. So I already have my stock ready to go. I just need the shop.
I cannot wait to shop there. I cannot wait to see the house finished. Please do a house tour.
Definitely.
I'm absolutely going to be glued to your Instagram. Just a few quick questions before we finish up. What's one ritual or routine that makes your house feel like home now? Is it the breakfast tray?
Do you know what? We like start shutting up shop for the evening really early and we love winding down. We're quite lazy people, to be honest. So I love like at around 5 or 6 o'clock, like lighting all the candles. William's mad for some incense. We love throws, cushions, pillows. So the couch will be kind of really like gorgeous and ready for us to... We love a TV dinner as well. So we'll have our sideboard, all our little pots and dishes and various... People are always like, your wash-up must be insane. And it kind of is, because I love bowls and receptacles and things to put your things in.
Have you got a dishwasher, though?
We have a dishwasher.
And it's running for free with the solar panels.
Well, this is it, yeah. So I'll use a million bowls and spoons and stuff to dish out. So we love doing that. We'll have our TV dinner. And so, yeah, winding down is good. And I can't wait to be able to have like a bath whenever I want it, not pre-plan it for ages in advance because our system at the moment is not great. So I love a seaweed bath. That'll be part of my evening ritual, I guess. But I love winter as well, kind of hunkering down and being cozy. And so I can't wait to actually be able to do that with the proper insulation and not have to be shivering, because I love when it's lashing rain, you know, just being cozy and...
Candles lit.
Watching Titanic.
Under the blanket.
Yeah.
Sounds fabulous.
Yeah.
The Kerbini blanket.
Yes, exactly.
James, thank you so much. That was fabulous.
Anytime.
There was plenty more to my chat with James, and we talked lots about his renovation, his design visions and plans for the future, but we're going to save that for a later episode, so you'll have to check back in. Next, we're off to Cork, where I sat down with Ellie in her beautiful home. We chatted in her living room with her lovely pink doors and fabulous views of the cows out over the fields. And she also baked us loads of lovely cakes. And the smell was just wafting through the house. It was just fab. Here we are in your gorgeous, newly renovated cottage. I can see rolling hills out the windows. We're in a really lovely, bright room. And there are a herd of cows or cattle.
Yeah.
Having their lunch.
Yeah, I love them. They're my favourite. I love looking at them.
And before we get into the interiors, one thing I noticed was that you don't have a telly.
Yeah, because I have cow TV. You don't need a TV licence to watch cow TV. Yeah, I don't have a telly. It's not on purpose. I'm not one of those like, I never watch television. I do. I have an iPad. I watch Netflix just like everybody else. But yeah, a TV was just never on the top priority list of things to get. It was more like table, bed, couch, and then we get into the electronics.
I'm like, how did you know where to point your furniture?
Just at the blank wall.
Just the cows.
Looking at the wall, looking at the cows. So yeah.
So Ellie, where are you from?
I'm originally from Germany, although I like to make people guess. And the best guess I ever got was County Longford. No idea what people from there sound like, but maybe like this. I'm originally from Germany. I moved to Cork City, almost 10 years ago now. It's quite a long time. And just have been here ever since.
And you do have a connection to Ireland, but it's not by family. It's because you came here on holidays as a child.
Yeah, we came here loads on holidays. Maybe loads. In my imagination, it's a lot. We went to County Clare. To the West Coast a lot when I was younger, and I just loved it. I just fell in love with the ruggedness of the landscape and just the nature and the people just being very friendly, but not overbearing, just like the right amount of, you know, good crack. And I just enjoyed it so much. And then after I finished my studies in Germany, I moved over here to start working.
That's amazing. So we obviously made a lasting impression of you.
Yeah.
And did you ever think back then that you'd somewhere in the future be sitting in your own very own Cork cottage living here?
Well, I dreamt it. I definitely dreamt of that. And I said to my dad then, I was like, I'm going to move here one day. And I don't think he took it very seriously. But yeah, I was dreaming that it would be. I had a book as a child that I think I got like as a present to a birthday. It's called A Bag Full of Green Wind. And it was about this girl that got sent to Ireland on a holiday to be with her aunt. And she didn't like it at first. And then obviously, you know, she fell in love with it. And that aunt was living in a cottage by the sea. And it was this whole picture. And I was like, oh, that's amazing. I want that one day. Now I'm not by the sea, but I still have lovely green fields to look at.
That's amazing. So you manifested this?
Probably, yeah. Very, very core, deep down manifestation. And it took some time to come through. But yeah, I do believe in manifesting this, definitely.
So why Cork, and what was going through your mind at the time? How did you end up there?
I never liked Dublin. Sorry, Dublin. Never liked it.
That's okay.
I knew the West Coast very well, but I knew that it was very rural, and to probably find a job there would have been very hard. I had one friend at the time who was in Cork at that time. So I thought, OK, I'll go there. I know one person. I'll try and find my footing, maybe find a job and then see where the wind takes me, kind of. And so, yeah, I ended up in Cork City. Arrived on a bus, good old Bazarin, Parnell Place. And I arrived and I looked out and I was like, oh my God, this is great. It's a walkable city. It's nice. It's by the sea. It's lovely. 10 years later, here I am.
And when you arrived in Cork that day, how did you feel? And did you think that you'd be here for this long? Were you planning on setting down permanent roots in Ireland?
I didn't plan it in that moment. I actually, the day I arrived, I had a terrible head cold. Like, Irish winter just embraced me with, like, here you go. If you can survive this, you can survive living in Ireland. I was feeling, like, quite poorly, but I remember writing in my diary at the time, I was like, I arrived in Cork today, and I had a yes feeling. Like, yes, this is it. This is where I'm meant to be. I didn't think that I'd still be here 10 years later, but I'm very happy that I am. And very quickly into being here, not directly from the beginning, but I think like 7-9 months in, I was like, okay, I'm not coming back. Mom, ship over with the rest of my stuff.
Oh my God. So you were committed 6 months in?
Yeah, probably.
And you had a cottage fund. It wasn't just a pipe dream that you manifested. Yeah. You had a special cottage fund account.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
I had a little savings account connected to like a current account that you could name. And I gave it the name like cottage, just to kind of put money aside and kind of, you know, keep that manifestation going. Never really thought it would actually happen. But then the year was 2023 in August. I was renting in Cork City and my landlady came to me and she was like, look, you know, it happens to everybody at some point. She wants to sell the house. And I was already kind of thinking like, oh, I want like to buy one day, like to be out in the countryside, look at rolling green hills. And then I looked on Daft and had, you know, a couple of viewings and other places. And then I found this place, which had cottage in the name. And I was like, oh, my God, this is perfect. And I viewed it and immediately I was like, yeah, this is it. Look at this view. This is the one that I was dreaming about.
And it wasn't people who lived here first. What was the original purpose of the cottage?
Oh, yeah. When it was first built, it was just built as a cow shed in the 1960s, I believe. This is not something that I knew when I bought the place. It was something that my neighbors told me much, much later. And they were like, oh, yeah, it was just meant to be a cow shed. And I'm like, oh, great. Cool. That explains so many things.
And instead of them being in here, they're now out there. And yes. You get to be nice and cozy and look at the cows while you're while you're eating your dinner or having your breakfast. So what condition was it? And describe how it looked versus how you felt when you saw it.
Yeah, so I was definitely blinded by glorious September sun when I first viewed the house. I was definitely a little bit naive, as probably a lot of first-time buyers are, that just get blinded by, you know, oh, this is, you know, a lovely view and lovely garden. But I decided to put in an offer anyway. And then when I got the keys 6 months later, reality kind of set in that, oh, this is actually not real floor. It's just glued down vinyl. And oh, there is a massive crack in that window. You know, those kind of things that you realize much later. It was definitely not livable when I got the keys, which was a bit of a shock to the system.
Oh, you thought you could move straight in?
I thought so.
Okay.
I was naive.
And was there anyone helping you when you were trying to find somewhere to live and to, you know, to apply for a mortgage and buy?
No.
Just you?
It was just me.
Just you and your gut feeling?
Yeah, and I think I relied on that a bit too heavily. Just like, oh, I love this. This feels good. I do like to go on kind of feelings and like, is this right for me? But I think when you get sort of the notice to you have to leave your home and, you know, you have to find something else to live, your world is just turned upside down.
Mm-hmm.
You're not thinking straight. It was just a tumultuous time in my life. And I was like, okay, yeah, let's buy a house. This seems like a reasonable thing to do now. Looking back, I wish I had a bit more time and I would have maybe bought in my own timing rather than because I was given notice to leave my rental accommodation. So it was a tumultuous time and maybe it was a bit of a spur of the moment decision, but...
But would you have picked it again?
I think so. In the state that it is now, definitely. Definitely now. But there were moments like in the past year where I was like, why the heck did I buy this place? Just because there's a lot of heartache when you're renovating.
Mm-hmm.
You're just bleeding money into it at the beginning. And so would I take on another renovation project? No. But I'm glad that I have this and I'm glad that I made the home out of it that it is now.
Okay, so let's get into the renovation,
yes.
The heartache of it all.
Oh.
For people listening who can't see this house, it's a cottage.
Yes.
And we walk in the front door.
Yeah.
And what do we see?
You walk in the front door. It's a two-bedroom cottage and the bedrooms are both on either side of the hallway, about 10, 11 square meters each. All in all together, the house is about 113 square meters. You walk through the hallway and then to the left, you go into a kitchen and then through the kitchen into a gorgeous room, which is my favorite room of the house, which we're in right now. It has big French doors opening into it and lovely views out the back. And that's my sitting slash dining room. And then there's also a bathroom and an upstairs attic storage space.
Okay, lovely. And not just any French doors, they're pink French doors.
Yes, white on one, pink on the other, which I painted myself, just like everything in this house. The painting job, however bad, it is done by me. And the pink is actually a mixture of all pink color testers that I got. So it's an original color. I just mixed them all together. And
does it have a name?
Ellie's
Pink.
Ellie Pink. Yeah, Ellie's Pink.
Okay, so we can get a sense of the space we're in now. But I'm sure the space was very different to when you walked in first. Tell us about your initial reaction. Was it overwhelming? And where did you start?
The first emotion was definitely overwhelm. I actually started a video diary at the time. And I think my first video, overwhelm is the most used word in that. I was kind of just shocked a little bit. It was just absolutely new situation for me. I never gotten a house. I never, you know, I never had keys to my own house. And oh my God, what do I do? What's the first thing I do? The first thing I did, which seemed weird, but because I realized that the room we're currently in didn't have an actual proper floor. It was just concrete. I went to a laminate flooring place and picked out flooring. That was the first thing I did without any other plan. I was like, you know what? I always wanted herringbone. I'm going to get myself some herringbone floor.
It's lovely.
That was the first thing I did and then kind of went on from there.
And the floor is gorgeous.
Thank you.
How did you hear about the one-stop shop and why did you go that route? Was it because the house felt very cold or because you knew it needed a huge renovation? Tell us about where you started on that journey.
I knew about the one-stop shop, but I didn't really look into it until much later in my renovation story. The first thing I kind of thought about was I need new windows and doors. Especially the back door had like just a massive gap underneath it. And in my first walkthrough of the house, I was looking into this room that we're in with the cracked back door. And there was just a little mouse in the corner just waving at me like, hi, I have free reign of this house because you don't have real doors. So my first thing was like, okay, I need new doors and windows. I know that there are grants for new doors and windows. And the more I looked into what's available and what you can get grants for, I was like, maybe I should do a bit more. Maybe it's worth the investment of doing everything at once and then having a less breezy, less cold house than what it felt like at the beginning. So I went from thinking, oh, I just need one or two things to let's get the whole nine yards and see how good we can get it.
Okay, because the windows and doors grant is only available in the one-stop shop. So you would have had to do everything at once. Well, not everything, but a significant amount of upgrades.
Exactly.
Which is included in the one-stop shop.
Yes.
So how did you pick your provider and what happened next? Did they come out and assess and see what needed to be done?
Yeah. I went on the SEI website and I checked all the one-stop shops that are available. And I wanted one preferably from County Cork just to support a local business. Mm-hmm. And so I rang a few places and I went with Insulex just because they said, oh yeah, we can have a look and come out next week. And I was like, oh, next week? That's great. So they came out and they had a look and they said all the things that are possible and how high of a BER I could get, which I didn't expect at all. So that's how I went with them.
So they did an energy assessment and then they gave you a list of things, and was that list long? And what did you end up getting done off that list?
I think we actually got everything done that was on their list. So they came out and they just did an assessment. I already had a BER assessment done.
And what was the original BER?
It was a D2.
Okay.
And I didn't think that I could get into the Bs, which is where you have to get to for the one-stop shop to kind of work best. Or work to get at least to a B2. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I didn't think that that was possible for me, but they were like, oh no, we can do this, because I didn't know what kind of walls I had. I didn't know if I could get external insulation or the cavity insulation. But it turned out that I could get a bit of everything. I could get new doors, new windows, external insulation, a cavity insulation in this extension room. Attic insulation, new radiators and a heat pump. So quite a long list of things, but it got me to an A3 BER rate.
An A3?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Super chuffed. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It does feel warm. You can kind of feel it when you come into the house that
it's
really well insulated. Yeah. And it's quiet as well.
Yeah.
And you were able to keep one of the original rads in your bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah. There were a few very old, like, cast iron radiators that were all over the house, basically, even some in the garden, just disposed. So I really liked the one in the bathroom, and because it had a good heat output for the size of the room, I was actually able to keep it, which is great because I wanted to keep as many of the features that are very cottagey or just, you know, very original, just like a stove in the kitchen or the exposed brick that I had. So I was glad that I could keep the radiator as well. I gave it a lick of paint and it might need another one, but I'm glad I have that.
Okay, so it's kind of a brand new cottage now. After getting all of your upgrade works done, then you were able to start on the interiors and the renovation. And now it feels like it could be, you know, it could be in a magazine.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, it's absolutely gorgeous. So tell us what you did and what you kept and how did you pay homage to the I suppose, the original cottage.
Yeah. So the things that I kept, like I said, the cast iron radiator, the stove in the kitchen, which came in so clutch when I had the power outage in the big snow this January, I was able to keep warm. I kept all of the internal doors. None of them match. They're all different in the house, but I think that's, you know, kind of quirky, and I like that. I kept, what else did I keep? Oh, some exposed beams that I just sanded down to make them look a bit airier and a bit lighter.
And your kitchen table is the original door, isn't it?
Yeah. So the front door used to be a half door, kind of stable door where you could open each half of it kind of independently. And when they were replacing the door, I asked them to keep it because I wanted to use this door somewhere. And I kept the lower half, the one without the glass, and I sanded it down. It's really old, nice teak wood. And I put some table legs on it, and now it's my kitchen island.
It's fabulous. And who helped you make that?
I made that myself.
That's incredible. Did you just self-taught, DIY?
Just self-taught, DIY.
DIY, actually, you're meant to say.
That's very good, yeah. Actually, I know nothing about DIY. I knew nothing about DIY. And I went at it very naively. But my sort of guiding sentence through all of this was, I've never done this before, so I have no evidence that I can't do it.
Okay.
That was my sort of sentence that I kept, kind of a mantra, like kept telling myself, like, you don't know if you can do it. You might be able to do
That's very profound. And I'm going to take that into my day to day. Oh my God, there's no evidence that I can't do this.
Yeah, I don't know how I came up with that. It was just, that was like my sort of mantra to this whole DIY thing.
Okay. And the door is fabulous. It still has the front door key in it.
Yeah, I put the key back on it just to kind of pay homage to it being a door, but it's also a handy little hook for some shopping bags.
Oh my God, amazing. It is actually. I'm just looking at it right now, yeah. And you've lovely cakes baked for us.
Yes.
Is that one of your favourite things to do in the kitchen?
Yeah. I love being in the kitchen doing my baking and cooking, baking especially.
Amazing. And right beside the mixer is the stove you mentioned before that kept you warm during, you know, a power outage. But you also have a heat pump. That was one of your measures. Tell us about the heat pump and how you're finding it.
Yeah. Oh, it keeps the house so warm and steadily warm. Like there's no dips of like, oh, it's cold now and at the night or whatever. It's super quiet, which I didn't expect. I thought it'd be quite a loud machine, but it is so quiet and it's just working along greatly outside. I don't even like have to do anything with it. I just, you know, turn my dial of the thermostat up or down depending on if I'm too hot or too cold. So it's so nice, so easy to use.
And it was a cozy winter.
It was a lovely winter.
How does your home now compare to the vision you had for it originally? Is it similar?
Oh, it was really hard to keep that vision alive, actually. When I first got the keys and I walked in, all of the vision I had went just, it was just gone. I couldn't remember. I was like, why did I think this was a good idea to buy? What was my vision? But thankfully, to the power of Pinterest, I kind of remembered what past Ellie was thinking when she bought this. So slowly but surely, the vision kind of came through. I wanted a house that feels very colorful and is not the, you know, sad beige Instagram that you see a lot these days. I wanted character in it, and I wanted to see me in it, and, you know, some color, maybe a little bit of too much pink, but
never too much pink.
I think so too. I think so too.
I definitely get a sense of who you are from being in here. I mean, you're quite playful. Yeah. You have a lovely green kitchen. You have lovely pink doors. Your bedroom is completely pink. But it's also quite calming, and you have a lovely, your main bright room where you watch the cows is a neutral colour, but you've got a lovely green couch, and it's modern, but it also feels like it's a like kind of a traditional cottage.
Yeah.
Is that the style you were going for? And were you into interiors before you bought the cottage?
I don't know if I was into interior before. I always rented. So there's only so far you can go with expressing yourself through your interior when you're kind of limited by what you're given, basically. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I wanted to keep up the cottage vibe alive a little bit, such as the chairs that I have are very your traditional Irish mammy kitchen chairs from Dundeal. Thank you very much. So yeah, I just try to keep those things and just kind of stick a little bit with like a mid-century vibe, just because the house was built in the 60s. Mm-hmm. So there is a little bit of thought behind it. I was never fully into interior design, and I don't think I am a very good interior designer, but I know what I like and I wait out for it to get it. Mm-hmm. Like I know exactly, oh, I want a cord fabric sofa and I want it to have clean lines. And, you know, I wait until it comes to me rather than just going out and picking the first one because I think, oh, I need a sofa right now. But just, you know, waiting out until the right thing comes to you.
Okay, well, it looks exactly like you described. It's gorgeous.
There you go.
And you mentioned the chairs we're sitting on. Well, the one I'm sitting on, you're sitting on a lovely pink one, but the one I'm sitting on is from Dundeal.
Yes.
Is sustainability important to you? I know, obviously, your home itself is very sustainable. It's now A3 rated, yeah. But was sustainability important to you in decorating your home? And how sustainably minded are you in your day-to-day life?
Quite sustainable minded. I think when I first kind of thought about it, I was like, am I very sustainable? But no, like there are at least three things I can look at here that are secondhand or hand-me-downs or from like Facebook Marketplace or Dundeal. I have loads of furniture from that just to, you know, it's such a shame to see or go to, you go a lot through the recycling center when you're renovating and so many good things are thrown away. You're like, this is fine. There's nothing wrong with it just because you don't like it anymore. So I had a few things like that where I'm like, oh, I don't like it anymore, but it's too good to throw away. So what I did is just throw on a coat of paint and just, you know, give it another lease of life. But I love secondhand furniture and clothing. That's like, I think, where the majority of my clothes are from, just to, you know, reuse what you have. And just like the paint testers, you know, you have so many paint testers left over, mix them all together and use them up.
And make Ellie's pink.
Exactly.
And obviously this right now is the high point, but what was the low point? And did you ever, I know you already mentioned when you first got the keys, but what was the low point and were you like, I don't know if I can keep going? And what gave you the strength to keep going?
Oh, the low, so I got the keys in April, and I think the low point came about a month later. I have a video diary of me just crying in the car, being like, this is the low point. I definitely cried tears enough to flood this place. I don't even know what the low point really was, what the trigger of it was, but it was just the sheer amount of work. And at the beginning, you feel like you're doing like two steps forward, three steps back. You start painting something and then there is a mouse. You start, you know, building something and then you have bees in your attic all of a sudden. You know, just really the locust stories. So that was definitely a low point of just being overwhelmed, like you said at the beginning of it, because it's such a big, big project. And it's so important to take pictures of the low moments, I find, because now a year on, you look back and go like, oh, I did that. And it looks so different. So everybody who's renovating, take pictures of the ugly stuff. Take pictures of you being absolutely overwhelmed, because you'd be so thankful to look at back at that later and be like, oh my God, I did it.
And where is your favorite spot in the house?
I think it is this room, the dining/sitting room, where I can look out at my cows and chill on my green sofa. I think that's, yeah, definitely my favorite part. Also because it's a room with five windows facing to the east, south and west. So I have sun all day round.
Oh my God, yeah, wow.
And it's just always bright regardless of the weather.
Ellie, describe your perfect day in the cottage.
My perfect day. Oh, I have a long lie-in in my new pink bedroom. Wake up, have a coffee. My boyfriend makes his amazing poached eggs. and then do nothing and look at my cows.
Oh, that sounds fabulous.
And maybe get the sun chair out and sit on the patio and ignore all of the weeds around me.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
So plenty of inspiration from both of this week's guests. We actually did a full video walkthrough of Ellie's house when we were there, and we spoke to Insulex, the one-stop shop contractor who managed the project. You can check it out on the SEAI YouTube channel, and there's also lots of other great homeowner stories there too. Housewarming will be back next week when I'll be chatting with another homeowner and with broadcaster, sustainable fashion influencer and podcaster Fionnuala J. If you'd like to find out more about any of the grants or schemes mentioned on this episode, you can head to the SEAI website, and there are links in the show notes. And we also have a special bonus episode on the feed all about the government-backed home energy upgrade loan. So check that out if you're getting serious about your renovation plans.